after we were in this church for 5 years or so, right? After some period of time of attending this church, we should be changed, shouldn't we? We should be different. God wants to work in our lives. And we have four areas that we've been sharing over the past few weeks that God wants to work in our lives. So like, almost like a growth chart. You know how you would put a kid against the wall and you would mark their height and you would see whether or not they're as high as they should be for their age? In the same way, we should look at our lives and say, God changed us, He saved us, we've been serving Him for a while, and we should meet these areas in our lives. And as we go forward as a church, we should continue to grow. So if we love Jesus, if we're saved, filled with His Holy Spirit, seeking Him, praying, doing all the things we should do, we should hit these four areas. And I showed them as this circle thing with the arrows because they're continuous. It's not like you hit one stage and then you're done and you move on. But rather, we do all four things over and over and over again. It becomes a lifestyle for us. How you doing? How are you feeling, Leo? Yeah, well, God bless you. We've been praying for you, Lino. Good to see you. I know you were hurting and busted up, so God bless you. So good to see you today. The four things were, well, God wants me to grow. They began with this word, G-R-O-W. The first one was generous-hearted. Remember a few weeks ago, we said God wants us to be generous with our time, our talent, and our treasures. We should tithe. We have to tithe by Scripture. Generous doesn't even mean tithe. It means above the tithe. It means we get to a point where we realize we don't do just what God requires, but we realize God loves us so much and everything is His that we want to just worship Him up and beyond that. That's generous hearted. We looked at relationally connected. We should be plugged in. We need each other as a church. We had an awesome men's breakfast yesterday, the first one that we've done here. And it was just awesome to see the men get plugged in and have them get connected. And that's important, to be relationally connected. And how sad would it be to attend our church for a long period of time to still be lonely, to still not have a friend who can help walk with you through whatever you're going through? That would be sad. And that shouldn't happen. You should be relationally connected. And there's many ways that you can do that. How can you do that? Well, come to church like you are right now. Stay for the coffee break in between. Get to meet somebody. If you're cheap, I always say this, if you're a cheapskate, you can treat somebody to a cup of coffee for free. All you got to do is squirt it for them and you can give them a cup of coffee. But the whole point, it's not really about the coffee or the bagels. It's about building the relationship. It's about taking 10, 20 minutes and getting to know somebody. And I want to encourage you to do that. Our Bible study is a great time to get to know each other. We do things different on Bible study on the midweek service than we do on Sunday morning. There's more interaction and discussion. Great way to get to know each other as well. And also with our ministries moving forward, like our men's ministry and our women, we'll be doing something coming up in the future. We have some brainstorm things happening with that. So you can keep that in prayer. But get relationally connected. Get plugged in. Another great way. Bill has a hang time fellowship trip set up. His is going to go fishing in Fortescue off of the Bonanza. If somebody could click reset, yeah. We're not on fire. When somebody's phone line is messed up, our alarm lets us know. It's like, hey, we got a problem with the phone line right now. Well, thanks for telling me. And in 5 minutes, it'll tell us again. So that's fine. But we have our hang time fellowship trips where I encourage you to get together with other people in your church and just go do something. It doesn't have to be something that costs money. His trip costs money, but we had other people in our church create a fellowship trip that didn't cost anything. You can just come up with anything you want, something you like to do. If you like to go to a flower show, you know, you could just say, hey, pastor, my family's going to a flower show in 3 weeks. Let everybody know. And if they want to go, they could take a ride with us and you enjoy the fellowship and you get to spend time with each other. Another way, invite somebody over your house for dinner after church or take them to a restaurant or get them a hot dog at Wawa, whatever. Oh, whatever it is, just spend time and you'll be relationally connected. And to be honest with you, that's when we find friendships that last forever. The truth is, in our society, most people don't have friendships. Most people don't have interaction. We're more connected with technology than ever before. You can get your cell phone. Some cell phones, you can talk to somebody on a video camera, but that won't take off because we don't really want to see anybody. You'd rather text message and not really touch them. You don't really want to communicate in any deep way. People try to do that with Facebook. Facebook is very shallow. You're not really getting interaction. And if you are, you're just weird because you shouldn't be typing all your problems on Facebook. It's not really that forum. It's okay, hi, how you doing, whatever, but it's not really deep, meaningful relationships. Back before they invented the TV, this is revolutionary, right? Before the TV became prevalent in the homes, people would have like two couches and they would face each other. Do you ever see old pictures? Does anybody remember that? And then you had a coffee table in the middle, and this is exciting, right? The coffee table is actually used for coffee. And people would sit and face each other, have a cup of coffee or tea or something, and then talk to each other. Now, the couches move, they face the TV, we don't even look at each other anymore. If we still have a coffee table, that's to hold our pizza while we're watching the game. We're not even talking to each other anymore, right? Or it's to hold our pile of remote controls because everything has its own remote control. And we don't get relationally involved. And that's why it's important to get together in church and do this. I preached on this a couple weeks ago. You can download the message, but I just wanted to touch base on that. And I believe when you make friendships in church, we'll have them forever. If you're saved, you love Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. And in heaven, you'll be talking to the friends you meet here. Isn't that awesome? So your relationships don't end until somebody moves. We'll go to heaven. And we'll be in heaven, and I'll say, Ivan, remember when we almost burnt the church down with the men's breakfast? Right? Yeah. And, we'll have friendships forever, so that's good. The third one is outward focused. We talked about that last week. That, see, as a church, we're generous, we love God, we love each other, we're relationally connected, but it's not just enough to be connected here. We know that there's people out there that don't know Jesus that need to be connected, right? So we focus out there as well. It's not just about our church and our people. It's about those who are crying for a Redeemer, those who don't know Jesus yet. It's about the alcoholics. It's about the drug addicts. It's about the hurting. It's about the suicidal. It's even about the people who think they're fine and they just don't think they need God, yet they do. It's about them. We want to reach out for them. The last one we're going to talk about today is to be worship-centered. Worship-centered. So this is the W in grow. God wants us to be worship-centered. Some truths I want to share with you today, some scriptures. On this, here's our opening thought, okay? You were made to worship. You were just made to worship. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it speaks of Adam and Eve walking through the garden and having a close relationship with God. And it was awesome. They loved being in God's presence. You were made to worship. That deep within you, as we're going to see in a second, you have this desire to worship something. We all do. You can sit back and say, I don't believe in God. Well, that's fine. You were still made to worship. And that desire will come out in one way or another. Isaiah 43:7 says, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. So God says, I have made them for my glory, His people. It was I who created them. Other places in Scripture talk about God creating us for His glory, that we were made to spend time with Him. We're going to turn into Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at this as our main passage today. I want to pull out some points in the Word. To be honest with you, today, since we're speaking about worship, I want to try to keep my thoughts pretty succinct today because I want to actually spend time in worship, if we can do that, right? So I don't want to just preach about worship and then take an offering and go home. I want to share some truths, give you some scripture, and I want to spend time together in worshiping and doing what God created us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is early in your Bible. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Do you have a page number, Ms. Sheila?
144.
144. If you have one of our Bibles, it's 144. Deuteronomy is the last book that Moses wrote. God had him review the law before he was going to take him home. We're going to jump down to verse 4. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone." Your version might say, "The Lord is God, the Lord is one." How many gods are there? One. Right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit isn't three gods, it's one God. We have one God who we serve and live for. Verse 5, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments, or to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children." And he goes on talking about how to teach the commands that God gave them to their children. So here's the deal. You were made to worship, and the first thought under this is you will either worship God, okay? So one of the choices of worship is the right one, is to worship God. That's why here this these two verses, the Lord your God, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone, you must love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. God knows that you were created to worship. You will worship something. The question is, what will you worship? Love the Lord with all your heart. Let's talk about that for a second. That means everything, right? That means you love God, that you... Let's start with this. You surrender your entire heart to God. That within your heart, there is no area that the Lord is not allowed to go. If your heart was a house, and if Jesus came, say, knocking at the door of your house, let's just talk about your real house. Jesus knocks on the door, "Hey, I want to come in and have a meal with you. Let's hang out for a little while," which is kind of Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens the door will let me in. I will come in and eat with you as friends." Right? So picture Jesus coming in your living room. First of all, would you let him in? If Jesus is standing knocking, "Hey, can I come in and hang out?" Would you leave Jesus with a little chain and the door only open a little bit and say, "Let me go clean up first, Jesus." Right? "Wait a second, Jesus. Let me go clean up." Or would you just invite him in? Would you have anything to hide? What if Jesus came in and he sits down on your couch and you're like, "All right, Jesus, hold up a second. I'll be right back." And then you turn the corner and you see Jesus wandering around your house. He's in your bathroom looking in your medicine cabinet. Right? Would you get freaked out? If Jesus is looking, what if he looks at your videotape collection? He's wondering what you're watching, what DVDs you have. Wonder what's on your cable. What if he looks at your internet? Where have you been? Can I check your computer history here? What would you do? Would you be fine with that? If Jesus came in and just started helping himself? What if he just wanted to see what you were eating? What kind of stuff you were putting in your body? Would you hope he didn't find your candy cabinet? You know, what would you do? Well, when we love the Lord with all of our heart, that means we're like an open book. That there is no area of our life that we don't let Jesus in. So it's not like Jesus is just Sunday morning, but Jesus is God everywhere in our entire lives, or worship to Him. And we'll let Him go wherever in our hearts. That we don't have any unconfessed sin in the basement of our heart, if you will. Where we'll love Jesus here, but this other part of our lives, we don't really want Jesus to be here. Right? If we love Him with all of our heart, we just surrender everything to Him. Because you know what the truth is? Jesus knows your sin anyway. He doesn't have to check your internet to see where you've been. He doesn't have to go through your videotapes. He knows what's in there. I would recommend just coming to Jesus and being honest with Him. And if there's sin, confessing it to Him, right? You can't hide stuff from Him anyway. He knows. And guess what? He still loves you. And He wants to clean up the junk in your life. He loves you. And He wants you to clean up the junk. And He wants to help you clean up the junk. And deep in your heart, you know that you really want to clean it up too. And you think, I don't know if I can do it. Jesus is here to help. And when we love Him with all of our heart, it's not even just a command that's like, oh gee, I have more things I have to do and it's going to be hard. While it is a command, it's also join in with what God wants to do in your life. Let go and invite Him into your entire heart. And He's going to work in your life and He's going to change you and He's going to give you the strength to change. Right? He's going to give you the strength to change. Love Him with all of your heart. With every area of your life. Other places in Scripture where it quotes this verse, it adds the phrase, with all of your mind. What do you think about? Do we love Him with all of our mind? Do our thoughts honor God? Now, do all of our thoughts honor God all the time? No. Do all of my thoughts honor God all the time? No. Did you get mad at somebody on the way here who was in your way driving slow? It doesn't work that way. Only the super religious would say every thought I ever have honors. No, it doesn't. They don't all honor God. When you want to smack somebody for getting in your way, that's not honoring God. When you want to choke the lady with 600 items in the express lane at ShopRite, that's not honoring God. But at the same time, we get to the point and say, you know what? Lord, she should get choked, but You're good. And I love You and thank You for giving me the strength to endure. You know? And thank You for giving me patience. And you say, I could dwell upon wanting to hurt somebody, but I'm not going to. And that's kind of silly, but how about when you're at work and people are telling jokes that you shouldn't laugh about? You'll say, you know what, God, I choose to not even think about that stuff. How about if you're home watching TV, and so many TV shows, it actually breaks my heart when you flip through the TV, and you know what, TV probably wasn't good 20 years ago, it's a whole lot better than today. And shows that they say are for the entire family, I would never let my daughter watch. And you sit back And as you fill your mind with this stuff, isn't there a point where we should say, you know what, God, I want to love You with everything. And maybe the best thing to do would just be to turn this off. To watch something else, right? And legalism, and I grew up in a legalistic church. Legalism would have a list of TV shows, don't watch this. Or legalism would say, don't watch TV at all. There are some good things on TV. I would say this, the Holy Spirit is within you, and if you're loving God with all of your heart, and you're seeking to love Him with all of your mind, He's going to whisper to you and say, this isn't good. You need to turn this off. That you know what, parts of it are funny, but there's a whole lot that's disrespecting God. And it's not religion that tells you to turn it off, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's, you know what, I'm not turning it off because I have to. I'm turning it off because I love the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and all my strength. So you love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That means, well, let me just touch on this. To love Him with all of your soul. Your soul is your spiritual side within you, the part that's eternal. Maybe our application for that would be that we only seek to get spiritual information from God alone. That God alone is our only source of spiritual information or spiritual life. God and His Word. And it might sound easy, but how many other sources do we have of spiritual stuff? Well, there's a lot. Oprah Winfrey preaches spiritualism all the time. And we say, God, I'm going to love you with all my soul. I'm not going to listen to that. Astrologers, fortune tellers, all that stuff. All right, let's just see what my horoscope is. That's spiritual stuff that just should not belong in our lives. In the book of Acts, there was a church that when the gospel came forward, they went out and burned all their Ouija boards and all their horoscope stuff. And they set it on fire because they knew that God saved them and they were burning all their witchcraft junk and said, this doesn't belong in our lives anymore. They didn't sell it. They burned it. And it was millions of dollars worth of stuff. But they said, I don't want this junk in my life because we're going to love God with all of our soul. Make sure you don't have all these other things come into your life. You go on, you're on the internet, it's there. Right? It's just there, unfortunately. You check your email, here's your horoscope. You could probably figure out how to take that little widget off your screen. Right? But don't spend time with that. Don't be somebody who's double-minded, that we seek God, but we seek these other things as well. And there's a lot of people that do that. Right? There are a lot of people, and it's tempting. And I want to say it's demonic, and I want to say run from that stuff. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and the last one, strength. Right? Love Him with all your strength. Well, how can we love God with all of our strength? Well, we love God with all of our strength by whatever we do it with all of our ability. Strength is like muscles, right? It's like your physical ability with all that you have. So that means you don't live a half-hearted life. You do everything full on and you give honor to God in the midst of that. So when you work hard. And you want your boss to see you and say, man, this guy works hard. Why does he work so hard? How come I can leave the job site and come back and he's still working? And he doesn't need me to check up on him every 5 minutes. Well, good work ethic shows that you love God with all of your strength, right? The Bible tells us over and over again to work hard. It says if you don't work, you don't eat, right? We are to work hard. What other things should we do with all of our strength? How about love our families, right? That when we go home and it's not work time anymore, it's time to spend with our spouse, we give her or him our undivided attention. And we focus on them. And we work hard, if you will, with our spouse because God gave us our jobs and God gave us our spouse. And we are to love them, right? And play hard with your spouse. Make dates. Do stuff that's fun. Take the moment to go out of your way. Right? Hold their hand when you walk through Walmart. Right? Right? Olga's laughing. Whatever it is, but that's what God would have us to do. And when we honor the gift that He's given us, like our spouse, we're strengthening our marriage. And we're worshiping God at the same time. Because we're saying, God, thank you for my spouse. I'm not going to ignore them and make them want to find love somewhere else. But I'm going to be a good steward of my spouse. And you gave me my spouse to love, honor, and cherish. And I'm going to pour myself into them. Right? And love your kids. Play with your kids if you still have kids. If you got grandkids, play with your grandkids. Right? Scoop them up. Give them a hug. With all your strength, that everything we do. And you know what? If you live like that, and it's at the end of your life, you'll look back and not have any regrets. But if you live half-hearted, you're not really paying attention because you're checking Facebook on your phone or other stupid stuff like that, you're going to get to the end of your life and say, oh, if I could only have another weekend away with my spouse. Oh, if I could only hug my grandkids again. If I can only take them to storybook land or whatever, right? And you're going to wish you could do those things. I say do those things now. Love them with all that you have. It's not really about money. It's more about attention and more about strength. And realize what things in your life you need to cut out. Because they're taking God's focus away from you. I say Facebook because you see that so many times. We use Facebook as a church. It's good. We can use technology for Jesus. I believe that. To be honest with you, if we didn't have it for church, I wouldn't use it. We keep in touch with a lot of our people. It works well. But for me, I find it, I can just be a time waste. You know, just a waste of time. A famous pastor, John Piper, he had a quote that I saw actually on Facebook. And it said that if nothing else, Twitter and Facebook are they're going to be used as evidence for God on Judgment Day when people try to say they don't have time to pray. And he says, wow, if there's nothing else on Judgment Day, but Lord, I didn't have time to pray. Okay, let's check out Facebook. You look, you have a virtual aquarium where the fish aren't real, but they're swimming around, and every day you got to click buttons to make your fake fish live. In the meantime, your real kids don't know who you are, right? It's absurd. It's absurd. And there's nothing wrong with those things in moderation, right? For men, there's nothing wrong with sports in moderation. There's nothing wrong in moderation. I'm going to go home and watch an Eagles game today. Hopefully Kevin Cobb will do something. We'll see, right? But if my life is all about football, then it's going to be shallow. And if I don't love God and listen to His Word and line my life up with His Word, I ignore my wife, I ignore my kid, and then I'm going to be sad at the end of my life. So what we do is we watch it together. My wife's a bigger football fan than I am most times. She is. And my daughter's there. She wears her little jersey, or sometimes she wears my Eagles jersey and walks around the house. It looks like a dress. It's so cute. And we watch the games together, and then we don't just do that all day. We'll do other things and spend time together. But we include the family, right? It's sad when you see families out together and they're not even talking. They're out at a restaurant and the kids have their own cell phone and they're talking to people that aren't even there, right? And the dad's busy doing work stuff, or he's still home, but he's still work mentally. You know? And I understand that. Because I pastor, you don't punch out with pastoring. So I understand that. I used to be bad at that. I'd be laying with my wife on the beach, and I'm saying, hey, honey, how about if we did this outreach to reach out for kids? And after a while, she said, hon, you know what? That's great. Can we have us time here? You know? Can you leave the ministry out just so we can be husband and wife? And over the years, I learned how to do that. You know what? I think that's a good thing, and I think God has blessed me for it. Because I've learned how to be maybe somewhat schizophrenic. And I could say, this is church life. And while they do blend over, at the same time, I can't have my wife be my ministry buddy. She's got to be my wife. I got to buy her roses and kiss her hand and stuff. It's not like, and I love Pastor Bob, we're ministry buddies. But my relationship with Pastor Bob better be different than my relationship with my wife, right? Right? My wife loves Jesus. My wife, she's not here today because my daughter's sick, but she's my ministry buddy. She talks about reaching people for the Lord and what we could do with her church. But there's also times when she's just my wife. And we need to separate that. Or at least allow time for that. Not separate it. Allow time for that. So when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we worship God and we're faithful in every area. And that's what God wants us to be. Okay? And I'm going to show you the alternative, the flip side of that. If you don't love God in every area of your life, with everything that you have, and that gets seen and evidenced in other areas, again, you work harder because you love God. You play harder because you love God. You're better with your grandkids and great-grandkids because you love Jesus. You're more forgiving to the lady in front of you at ShopRite because you love Jesus. It impacts every area. You're either going to love God and have it impact your life, or here's the other options. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 6. We're going to scan through again. 6, 4, and 5 says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Verse 6 says, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands God's given you. You're either all in or you're not. And to be honest with you, you're here on a Sunday morning because I believe you want to be all in for the Lord. I believe so. So I want to encourage you, be all in. If you're not here, or if you didn't want to be all in for God, you probably wouldn't be here. But you're saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm thinking about doing this thing. I want to encourage you to. Verse 7, in Deuteronomy 6, then onward, talks about the parents' responsibility to teach their children. If you're a parent, it's your responsibility to teach your kid about Jesus. Right? It's not the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And we're going to do the best we can as a church. We want to invest in your children or your grandchildren, whatever the case may be. But it's parents' responsibility first. And for those whose parents are completely dropping the ball, if you're here, say, if you're a grandparent and you see that your kids or your grandchildren's parents are dropping the ball in this area, then you can invest in your grandchildren as well. But it's primarily the parents' responsibility to teach them about the Lord. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk to your kids. Give them the Word of God. He says, talk about them when you're home, when you're on the road. So when you're in the car, when you're going to bed, when you get up. You should pray with your kids before you go to bed. We read the Bible with our daughter before we go to bed, before she goes to bed. Talk about them when you get up as you go through life. If your kid bumps their knee, you stop and you pray, right? Because your children will see whether or not they should serve Jesus by whether or not you really serve Jesus. And that's just the truth. If you don't love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you halfway love God, your kids are going to sit back and say, why should I even love them at all? Because you halfway love God. You don't really love God. You know, and you can even say all the right words, and actually that's worse for a parent who can talk very religiously, and yet their children see their lifestyle and see they don't love God. Because they're not loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So then the children say, you know what? Why should I spend my Sundays? I only get 2 days off. Why should I grow up as an adult, spend my Sunday at church? I could do something else. Why should I give my money to the church? I could buy a car. Why should I do this? But if they see that you're really loving God, they're going to, in turn, love Jesus. Now, can your kids turn away? Yeah, but you're setting them up for success if you live for Him. You know, children have free will. They can choose to reject God, and we pray that they'll come back later on. But we're talking about doing the best you can and being real with them. Then it goes on, write down the commandments of God. It says put them on your frontal little things you hang from your face and wear it on beads. And here's the deal. We don't dress like they dress. But this is basically, you can put memory verses on your bathroom mirror. Right? And as you're combing your hair in your morning, think about this verse that you want to memorize that week. Put it on your refrigerator, bumper sticker in your car. Don't just do the bumper sticker and cut people off, right? But put the Word of God in places that you'll see it, and that your children will see it, right? It'll help encourage them in the faith. That's still part of the first part. Look at verse 10. We're just going to scan. And I'm going to scroll down to verse 11. So if you look at verse 10, God's going to bring you into this land. This is Moses talking to his people again. God's going to provide. He's going to bring you into this land that you don't have. Verse 11, the houses will be richly stocked with goods that you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. You will eat from the vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. So Moses is saying, here's the deal, guys. Okay, Moses is getting ready to die. The Israelites did not go to the promised land yet. And he says, here's the deal, ready? In the future here, things are going to go well for you. You're going to get blessed by God. You're going to go into places and receive God's blessing that you didn't earn. Okay? And in their time, it was, you're going to come to a town, and there's going to be a well that you can use and you didn't even have to dig for. God's going to bless you. You're going to come and here's going to be a town. You don't even have to build it because God's blessed you. He's provided. In our lives, God provides things, don't He? Sometimes you can work real hard for something and you don't get that, but God provides something else that was completely unexpected. Look at the end of verse 11 and verse 12. It says, when you have eaten your fill in this land, okay, so when things go well, when you're sitting at some point and you're like, man, life is good, okay? Verse 12, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve Him. When you take an oath, you must use only His name. Here's the deal. We tend to forget God and we start to worship His blessings. Right? You were created to worship. So you will either worship God and say, God, thank you for all this stuff, or you begin to worship the blessings. And you begin to live for all the stuff that God has given you. Here Moses said, you're going to forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Because right now you're hungry and you ask God, and these people were at that point, they're eating manna from heaven and stuff. They want real food. God says, right now you're hungry and yet you know God provides. There's going to come a point where God is going to bless you and bless you, and you're going to forget it was God. Does that happen? That absolutely happens today. We can begin to worship the blessings. In other words, let's just say this. Is there anything wrong with fishing? Nothing wrong with fishing, right? Is there anything wrong with getting a boat and going out on a lake and fish? Nothing wrong with that. What if God blesses you with a good job and you can finally get the boat you want and you can go out and go fishing? Great. And then all of a sudden, you start fishing on Sundays. You're missing church because the fish are really biting. And then when you're at work, you're thinking, I can't wait till I get home and fish. For Christmas, you're buying your wife a fishing pole and she don't even fish, right? Your life begins to revolve around fishing. Oh, I just love... Well, guess what? Fishing has become an idol in your life. And you can begin to worship fishing. An idol is anything in your life that you live for, that you put your time, your talent, and your treasures into. We talked about being generous-hearted earlier. Remember, time, talent, treasures? You start putting all that stuff into fishing. So all your time is fishing. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, your mind is on fishing. With your strength, you're fishing, right? It's all fishing. That's your drive. There's nothing wrong with fishing where it should be in your life, underneath of everything else, underneath of God. But an idol, remember if you said, I said this before, an idol is usually a good thing. Many times it's a good thing that we elevate to a God thing. Fishing is a good thing. You can fish and love Jesus and thank Him for creation and feel refreshed. You can go with buddies and have great conversations. Fishing's awesome. But if you begin to elevate it to a God thing and all of your time, talent, and treasures go to fishing, God's blessed you with a boat and now you're worshiping that, you're out of order, right? And it's going to impact your life and it's going to hurt you. That can happen in a lot of different areas. It's not just fishing. What else could it be? It could be children, right? There's couples who are praying to have children. Are children a blessing from the Lord? Absolutely. Children are a blessing from the Lord. But what happens when you start to worship your children? In other words, little Johnny can never do anything wrong, right? You just spoil that kid. You get him anything he wants, right? You get him, he's involved in all these games and practices or whatever. And whatever he wants to do, you'll let him. You don't have to clean your house. I'll pick up after you, right? You don't have to clean up your toys. You know parents to do that. You begin to worship your child and you turn him into a little demon, really. Right? But you'll see parents who do that. They worship their kid. They live for their kid. They give their kid everything. And they'll go without when they really shouldn't. They'll just go without just to feed this little monster who's never satisfied. And in the meantime, you're destroying the child, but you're also not doing as the parent what God wants you to do. Again, you love God with everything. God says, discipline that kid. God tells you, don't spoil that kid. And you let your kid get away with murder. And you could end up worshiping the blessings. God blessed you with a child, but then it got out of control. Kids are a good thing, but they're not little gods. And we know that. Other things in your life. We don't need to go on with that. But you'll either worship the blessings God give you, or here's this next thought. You worship the blessings, or you take credit for them yourselves. And here's where God gives you the ability to work. He gives you the strength. He gives you the talents, the intellect to do your job and do it well. And then maybe you're even at a point where you are praying, God, help me. I need you to help me do these things. And then God does. And then years down the road, you'll say, I'm a self-made man. And what happens is you end up making yourself an idol, right? Because you're going to worship something. God made you to worship. So either we worship God, or we start to worship stuff, right? We start to worship the blessings, or we can begin to worship ourselves. And this is where it gets to the point where I want what I want and I don't care. Right? I know Jesus said to forgive you, but I say I don't have to because you don't deserve it. Well, Jesus said you have to forgive. Well, you just made yourself higher than Jesus, right? Do you see that? Jesus said you must forgive. Well, I don't want to forgive. Okay, so now you're Jesus' boss. No. But you get to a point, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to repent. No, I'm right, right? And you take credit for blessings God gives you, and you start thinking that you're the greatest thing in the world. Moving on. Pastor Bob, it's cold in here, right? Everybody cold? No? Anybody cold? Wow. I'm agreeing with Sheila for once. I thought it was a little chilly. You cold? Oh, okay. No, I'm fine. You freezing, Sheila? Yeah.
Bring your blanket. All
right.
I have one in the car.
How are you, Bill? All right. Verse 14. I hope I'm not getting sick. That wouldn't be good. Verse 14. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 6. You must not worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations. For the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. Wow. You must not test the Lord as you did when you complained at Massah. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and decrees he's given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Here's the last big thought I want to share today. He says, don't worship the gods of the other nations. And in this time, the Israelites would go forward. They would go and people would attack them. They would go in battle and conquer the nations. But sometimes they would stop and they wouldn't finish what God told them to do and conquer the nation. And instead they would let like the hot girls go free or whatever. And they would marry people they weren't supposed to marry, right? And they would do other things. And they would end up with these people, these family members who worship other gods. Golden idols and little golden donkeys and cows and all kinds of weird stuff. But they would say, okay, I like you, so tell me about your God. And they would find that their hearts would be steered towards the things of this world. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, number one, don't worship little golden donkeys and that kind of thing. Don't do that. But that's usually not our problem in America. That still is around the world in places like India. A lot of idolatry with golden statues. In America, we don't worship those things as idols, but we do worship other gods, if you will, of this world, like materialism. How many have bought into the lie that you would be happy if you only had more stuff? Right? Well, that's the god of materialism. If you had more stuff, you would be happy. Better car, right? Bigger house. Is there anything wrong with a better car? No. Anything wrong with a bigger house? No. But when you seek those things to fulfill you, when you make a good thing a God thing, it's out of line, right? There's nothing wrong with a nice car. But when you seek your fulfillment from that nice car. You seek happiness from this nice car. You've elevated it to an idol and you're out of line in your life. And that's what God warns about. God didn't say don't enjoy life. We should enjoy life. God didn't say don't go on vacation. We should go on vacation. God didn't say you need to get all no-frills food and you're not allowed to have Kraft macaroni and cheese. You always have to buy ShopRite. Well, God didn't say that. I guess you can have Kraft macaroni and cheese. I think we like ShopRite better, actually. But you can get the Kraft if you want. But you need to make sure that you're not worshiping the idols of materialism. That I need this brand name because this brand name gives me my status and makes me feel good. Then, a good thing of enjoying stuff becomes a God thing and you're out of line. You're worshiping life. You're worshiping the stuff here. You're worshiping materialism. But other things that people worship? Fame, right? People want to be famous. You see it on TV all the time. American Idol, those kind of shows, right? Fame. People want to be famous. They want people to know who they are. All these reality TV stars that we see, they're famous for 5 minutes, but they want to be famous, right? And it's sad, really. But they give out anything for everybody to know their name. On our Wednesday night recently, we read about Joan Rivers and all of her plastic surgeries. And she said that she thought it was fine if people made fun of her because she knows people make fun of her for plastic surgeries. But she said, if they're making fun of you, that means they know you. And if they know you, that means you're still relevant. And if you're still relevant, that means you're successful. So she based her success in life, even if people were mocking her, they still knew her and she was famous. That's sad. That's an idol. That's an idol in our lives. What other idols could we have? What's that? Yeah, me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Right, yeah. All about you, right? Uh-huh. Right, right. I'm still waiting for the beer commercial where they show the old fat guy in the wife beater shirt with vomit on his chest, sitting back drunk in the recliner and waking up and demanding his family to watch whatever he wants because he needs to have the remote. You don't see that commercial. You see young people who are fit, who do exercise. You don't see the guy who's like, shut up. And he just sits there. You don't see Anheuser-Busch. Shut up, lady. Give me my chips and I want my beer. You don't see that, right? But a lot of times, me can turn into that. It can turn into the demanding husband. And the religious demanding husband is the worst. The one who tries to quote the Bible. Submit to me, woman. Right? Which, yeah, that's in the Bible, but it also says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Jesus would have gotten up and said, honey, you can sit here and I'll sacrifice for you. Right? You don't want to hear that. Yeah, me. What else? What other idols? Money, right? That's what I was thinking of. Money. Live for money. Work for money. Sacrifice your family for money. God tells us to love our families. Well, we sacrifice our family just so we can get more money. Somehow you think with more money you'll be happier, and you won't. That God is as futile as well. How about living for the moment? Is there anything wrong with bungee jumping? Except for being crazy. I'm not going to do it, but people do it. I guess it's fine. Parachuting is fine. But there's people who just live for that moment. Their whole life is, and then at the end, whew, that was great. I want to do that again. And like their whole life is just to be extreme and do something crazy. And like that's what life is about. Well, that's not really what life is about. That's fine if you want to do that. And I guess you can love Jesus and skydive. I guess it helps your prayer life, right? While you're falling. But living a lifestyle like that, where that's what it's all about, that's not good. What other things? How about sex, right? How many people, that's their God? And they think somehow they're, you know, if they live for this thing, it's a good thing. They'll find happiness. They'll find pleasure. And when it's all said and done, they find emptiness, right? When it's all said and done. Is there anything wrong with sex? No, it's a gift from God. It's a gift for husbands and wives. To make babies, but also just to be intimate and loving and grow in your life together. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about that a lot. Bible says, have sex. Right? 1 Corinthians 7. Sounds weird, but it does. It says, don't ever be apart unless it's a mutual agreement for prayer. Paul says, unless the husband and wife talk to each other and they both agreed, let's fast and seek God for something in our lives. Other than that, Paul's like, no, you need to keep the devil out of your bed. You need to be intimate. Sex is a good thing. But when you make it a God thing, when you take it outside of marriage, and it becomes with whoever is around, or it becomes cheating on your spouse, or then it's really sad. And you took the good thing and you made it a God thing. But unfortunately, that God thing has the little g, and it's not really real. At the end of your life, you regret that. So today I want to encourage you to worship God. Because you're going to worship something. You know that? You're going to worship something. We all do it. Name a Hollywood star and we don't know them personally, but you could probably point out who their God is by hearing what they talk about, right? You probably can. You might be wrong, but you can take an educated guess by listening to an athlete, a football player, and just hear them talk. Freddie Mitchell from the Eagles years ago, the wide receiver, he's famous for at a post-game interview saying, because he made a good catch. And, you know, most players say, I'd like to thank God. He says, I'd like to thank my hands for being so great. And it was kind of funny. But he's sort of an egotistical guy. He's sort of all about himself. And I think his God is me, if you will. You know? How many other people say, oh, I'd like to thank Jesus, and they're winning a Grammy for making the most nasty CD in the world, and they're thanking Jesus for inspiration? Well, Jesus didn't inspire that. But they want to be religious, but they also want to deny God. Well, they're not loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They might say the words, but they're really not. So here, I want to encourage you to love Him with everything. Love Him with everything. How can we do that? How can you apply this in your life? First of all, this. If you don't know Jesus, ask Him into your heart. The first thing you can do is ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Come to God and say, God, you know what? I've heard Pastor Jim talk about this stuff for a while. I agree, I'm messed up. But I know that you came and lived and walked on the earth, and I know that you died and rose again. Because of that, I ask you to forgive me, and help me to live for you. Ask Jesus to forgive you. That would be the first thing. The next thing is follow Him in water baptism. Follow Him in water baptism. Get baptized. Bible says, get saved, get baptized. Just say, God, you said I'm to get baptized, so I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to follow you. It's as simple as that. But if we love Him with everything, we're going to do what He says. And we'll just do it. What's the next thing? I want to encourage you to seek God. I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer. I want to encourage you to talk to God. Prayer is nothing more than talking to God like I'm talking to you. You don't have to have King James English. You don't have to say, oh Lord, Thou beest so good to me. On Thine beautiful day that Thou hast created. You don't have to do that. You can say, God, I love you. But I want to love you more. You can even say, God, I'm having a bad day. But I need your help. Right? Thank Him for the good. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. And you know what? It sounds so simple, but to be very honest with you, this is where you begin to walk deeper with Christ. You could take a shower, and in the shower, you're all alone. Shut the door. Good morning, Lord. Begin to talk to God. And you know what? As you talk to Him, in all honesty, you'll sense His presence. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you will sense His presence. And I mean that in complete sincerity. I don't come at you with all this religious facade. I'm just being honest and transparent. I talk to the Lord. I can be in the shower and I can sense God's presence in such a real way. Even if everything's going wrong, I can say, God, everything's messed up today. I need you. And begin to talk to Him, and He'll work in your life, and you'll sense His presence. And just begin to do that. That's what prayer is. Prayer is spending time with God. Just like you would your spouse, if a husband and wife want to be close together, they need to spend time, right? Talking. It's the same thing with us and God. Spend time talking. Seek Him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in His presence.